Chapter 8. Brothers Opposed. Last Stand. Monsters. Caius stumbled through the inner doors of a small airlock and back onto the Probity. He was 100 meters aft and 2 decks below the main bridge. He feared he was too late. The sounds of combat rang throughout the vessel. There were not many Night Lords, but he had no doubt that with only a limited number of the Legion to protect the crew, the traitors would take the bridge with ease. He breathed raggedly, each inhalation an agony. His primary heart had stopped. Blood soaked his mesh under armor. He would not survive without medical attention. The chances of that were vanishingly small. He had to get to the bridge. As he walked, the blood, frozen to the outside of his battle plate, melted and fell in fat drops to the deck plates. Where he steadied himself on the wall, he left scarlet smears. Never had 100 meters seemed so far. The spinal corridor was deserted, but the sounds of fighting echoed off its hard metal edges. There was so much screaming. The bridge blast doors were closed. No signs of conflict there yet.
Gellius, it's me, Brother Caius. Let me in, he voxed.
The bridge doors slid open a crack. A single bolt gun met him.
Caius? Tiberius, help me!
The doors opened a fraction more. Brother Tiberius slid out warily, looking past Caius down the corridor.
We feared you dead. You are mostly correct, said Caius.
He took his brother's arm and leaned on him.
My primary heart is damaged, and my lungs. I will not survive this.
None of us will.
Tiberius helped him through the doors. They slid closed the moment he was through, and they were into a bridge full of tense chatter and fear. Brother Hellas was there with Tiberius.
Where is Lethicus? He said.
Ambushed, said Caius.
Caius pushed Tiberius away and stood as steadily as he was able.
Hear me, servants of Ultramar, Caius said, addressing the command deck's crew. There is no winning this situation. We are outnumbered. Lethicus is embroiled on the station, possibly dead. The Night Lords attempt to take the ship. We have no choice but to prevent the Probity falling to the foe.
Silence greeted his words.
Gellius, you have the authority, said Caius.
I will give the destruct command, my lord.
Hellas, said Caius.
Every word was a gasp of pain.
See to the navigator. He must not fall into enemy hands if we are unsuccessful.
On a ship the size of the Probity, there was no palatial dwelling for the navigator, only a sealed pit situated above the command deck.
Yes, brother, said Hellas.
He made for the stairs recessed into the wall that led to the navigator's sanctum.
Navigator Morosi Hin is a loyal man, said Gellius. Then he will die without complaint. However, the Night Lords got into the southern system. We will not make their departure any easier. They cannot be allowed to leave, for they have seen the Pharos. Vratus, tell Master Kiva to send a message to Sotha. Request that Mistress Tibanian send one to Macrag.
Kiva is afraid to open his mind, said Vratus. He fears what he sees in the warp.
He is going to die whatever happens. Tell him that if he owes any loyalty to the Emperor, he will gladly give up his life for the Imperium. If that does not work, I shall tell him what the Night Lords will likely do to get him to serve them.
Freitas spoke again into the vox. The crew was intent upon its own extinction, but Caius's orders gave them structure, and they fought back their fear. Caius limped to the first step down from the main dais and crouched there. He leaned against the shallow lip between the dais and the first crew tier, nursing the agony in his chest. Without intending it, his eyes slid shut. He drifted away until a voice called him back. It was only for a moment, according to his suit chronometer, but it felt like an age. Perhaps that was what death was like, he thought. In better circumstances, he would fall into hibernation, but the circumstances were as they were.
Lord Caius,
Freitas said.
Caius roused himself. Kiva agrees. What should he send? A simple message. Let Sotha know the Night Lords are coming. Send out a vox signal. Maximum gain. See if you can overpower the Night Lord's countervox. Perhaps we can warn one of the patrols of what has happened here.
Yes, my lord, said Vratus.
Gellius stood up from his station and solemnly saluted the ultramarine.
I have no reply from the engine room, my lord, but have activated the self-death mechanisms here. We have only a few minutes.
Thank you, Shipmaster Gellius.
As crisply as he could, Caius returned the salute. A grinding, metallic voice boomed out over the ship's vox system.
Plasma reactor core destruction sequence initiated. Inhibition governors offline. Magnetic field inductors offline. Fuel injection accelerated. Critical mass will commence in 3 minutes. Reactor death in 3.5 minutes. All crew abandon ship. Savior pods unlocked.
Nobody moved. There was nowhere to go. A boom sounded on the far side of the door. All eyes went to it. Caius drew his weapon and shifted into a painful kneel, using the step as cover. Hellas returned from the navigator's sanctum.
It is done, he said. He took up position at the side of the door. Tiberius joined him.
The Night Lords will die with the rest of us, shouted Caius. We will not wait passively for this to occur. Draw your weapons, servants of Ultramar. When they come through that door, greet them with the hospitality they have earned with their treachery. Show them your hate.
2 minutes until reactor death, intoned the dead voice of the ship.
The bridge crew drew their last pistols and crouched behind the stations where they had lived out their adult lives. Caius was surprised to see a couple of them muttering to themselves, pressing tattered booklets to their lips. Prayers, he supposed. Every day the Imperial truth looked thinner and thinner. Had anyone but the legions ever believed it? In this time of gods and monsters, he was not sure he did himself. 4 muffled clanks came from the other side of the bulkhead.
Melter charges, said Tiberius. Stand ready. They are coming through.
A quiet whooshing noise broke the silence of the bridge as the fusion devices activated. A quartet of dull red points glowed around the Ultima upon the doors. They spread rapidly across the plasteel until the whole door shone with furnace heat. The centers glowed brighter until they became white hot. The harsh smell of burning metal filled the room. Dribbles of liquid fire ran from the doors, becoming a torrent as they expanded and joined together. Hot metal sparked as it splashed on the floor. The doors sagged and collapsed inwards. Caius opened fire.
The Emperor protects! Someone shouted.
A raging giant burst through the door before it had finished disintegrating. Molten metal streamed from his warplate as he leapt. The long-handled chain weapon the Night Lords favoured gripped in both hands. Hellas and Tiberius fired several rounds at the warrior. A few hit, but none penetrated his warplate. The warrior swung his chain glaive around, letting his hand slide to the very end of the shaft. It smashed into Tiberius's helmet, caving it in. Hellas aimed at him at point-blank range, but the Night Lord was unbelievably fast. He brought his weapon around and battered Hellas's gun to one side. The bolt exploded in the ship's wall as his fire went wide.
1 minute until reactor death.
Lasbolts and bolt rounds sparked from the warrior's armor, sending showers of melting metal from the door all over the bridge. A man screamed as it splashed on his skin. Still, the Night Lord did not stop, killing the deck crew indiscriminately. A second was stepping through, bearing a chainsword and pistol. Bolt gunfire came from behind him. Caius switched targets and shot at the newcomer, eviscerating him with 3 carefully placed rounds to the torso. Before he could fall, another ran from behind, pushing the dead man forward as a shield. As he reached the edge of the command dais, he flung his dead comrade outward into the crew tiers, crushing one and scattering others. The crew fired frantically at him, but their last pistols did little more than scorch his armor. He too was formidable. Lightning patterns played over his battleplate, and he wielded a huge 2-handed power axe.
With a roar, he leapt at Caius, his great weapon whistling and buzzing as it fell. The ultramarine raised his bolter in both hands. The weapon sheared through it in a burst of sparks. Caius stepped back and drew his gladius. Something tore inside him. The vital sign monitors in his helm screamed warnings at him. The axeman drove again at Caius, forcing him into another parry that sent a spear of agony through his chest. He tried to raise his weapon back into a guard position, but all the strength fled his arm, then his legs. He wavered on his feet, stumbled, and went to one knee. More Night Lords had entered and were massacring the crew. Unarmored, the humans were blown to pieces by mass reactive rounds. Hellas duelled with the glaive wielder. He was outmatched. The Night Lord drove the butt of his weapon hard into the ultramarine's torso, cracking the metal. Hellas staggered. A swing took his arm off at the elbow, then another his leg. The Night Lord was laughing, toying with Hellas. Caius looked up at the Nostraman towering over him. He held in his hand a ragged piece of machinery, like a heart torn from a chest. Reactor death, reactor death, reactor death. Ave Imperator, said the ship. Nothing happened. The Nostraman tossed the device onto the floor.
A good play, Ultramarine, but not clever enough. Your ship is ours.
Caius looked at it. He could feel the life running out of him.
Why did you turn?
Croaked Caius.
We will not be slaves to a liar, said the other.
Your kind killed the man who made us. No freedom is worth that.
We have not killed him yet, said the warrior.
He laughed loudly, the thought evidently amusing him.
The Emperor lives?
Caius murmured. The axeman snorted.
So, you do not know. Aye, he lives. But let it be no comfort to you, for we shall slay him soon enough.
Caius gritted his teeth.
You think you will ever be free? You cannot win. You have become monsters.
The axeman raised his weapon.
We always were.
Scryvok stepped over the slagged remains of the bridge's blast door. Night Lords dragged the crew from their stations, living or dead. Fire burned in one corner, clogging the air with thick black smoke. Scryvok approved. There was just enough damage to the ship to make it all look believable. Shattered bodies were draped everywhere. Two dead ultramarines lay by the breach doors. A headless third lay upon the deck. Kellanvar fell to his knees as Scryvok entered, but Kellankir simply toyed with the space marine's severed head. Both brothers were helmetless. Their faces were so alike, thought Scryvok. The touch of Kurz in both could not completely overwrite their common birth heritage, but their expressions were entirely different. Kellanvar clasped his hands about the long haft of his axe and presented it to his master.
The ship is yours, Claw Master, he said.
Brother Kellanvar, you'll never fail me.
I never shall, my lord.
Kellankir sneered at his brother's obeisance.
The ship is yours for now, but it will soon belong to Krukesh, he said sneeringly. Tell me, painted count, how much of the fighting did you do yourself?
Scryvok unclasped his helmet. The stale air inside hissed free as the neck seals parted. He lifted the helmet off gently, revealing the pale Nostraman face beneath. Square black lines ran from his forehead to chin over both his eyes, swelling around his eye sockets to color the full orbit. Delicate lightning pattern tattoos decorated each cheek. Ship's air was rarely pleasant to breathe, either overly dry or overly moist, often too hot or too cold, always tainted with the smell of the machinery that cleansed it and the sweaty odours of many bodies living in close proximity. After a battle, one could add the iron-rich stink of blood, voided bowels, fire, smoke, hot metal, and the sharp, nose-tickling smell of physoline to that unpleasant mix. Nevertheless, after 2 weeks of battleplate recycled air, it was delightful to Scryvok. He closed his eyes in pleasure, letting the draft of the ship's air current dry days-old sweat. He breathed deeply, then Mag locked his helm to his hip. He looked Kellenkir dead in the eye and beckoned behind himself. 4 Night Lords dragged the ultramarine sergeant onto the bridge and dropped him hard on the floor. The upper part of his body had been stripped of armor. Pain spikes were lodged into several of his interface ports, and his face was bloated with decompression damage.
Their leader?
This is Sergeant Lethicus. Does this answer your question, Kellenkir? I was among those who caught him.
Among them. So you had help.
All hail our mighty warlord!
The ultramarine groaned, and his eyelids fluttered. Kellenkir grinned evilly and walked over to him. He dropped the severed head onto the deck. He laughed at the ultramarine's reaction.
A friend of yours? He fought well, considering his wounds. He dragged himself all the way back here from the station to fight with his comrades. Not that it made any difference. He died anyway, as we all shall die. Leave the prisoner be, Kellenkir, said Scryvok. He is mine.
A feverish light ignited in Kellenkir's eyes.
Let me have him, Scryvok. I will make him scream for death. Give him to me, and I will show him the futility of life and the inevitability of pain. Perhaps then you and I will forge a deeper bond, signed in the humors of this man.
Kellenkir loomed over the downed sergeant and pressed hard on a gaping wound in his side. The ultramarine grunted with pain. He spat a mix of acid and blood into Kellenkir's face. The Night Lord reared up, his hand going to his burning skin. He held it there as his flesh hissed, and then he laughed again.
So bold, so sure of yourselves, avenging sons of the avenging son. You will learn your fury counts for nothing. Under my careful knife, you shall suffer for your arrogance.
Lethicus smiled bloodily back.
Coward, face me blade to blade, and let that decide who is arrogant and who is not. You will face my blade, only you shall have no hands to hold your own.
Kellenkir revved his chainglaive and raised it to strike. Scryvok drew his bolt pistol. With his eyes fixed on Kellenkir, and without looking at the dying ultramarine, he aimed and shot a single bolt into his head. Lethicus's skull shattered as the mass reactive detonated, spraying them all with brain matter. Kellenkir's face twisted in fury.
We do not have time for you to indulge yourself, Kellenkir. Let this be a contract between us. If you wish to sate your appetites, do as I say.
Scryvok activated his vox speed and addressed his company.
My worthy 45th, hear me now. The cost in blood to our comrades has been high. You shall be avenged. Let slip your bloodlust. End every life on this ship. Make them scream to their false emperor for his aid. The emperor was to give such creatures as these the things we have earned by conquest and blood. Let this vessel run with their vitae so that they will know what we sacrificed. Let them remember the fundamental law of the universe, that the strong shall prevail.
His men responded eagerly. Screams rang out from the lower decks as Scryvok's warriors set to work. Tired of their confinement, they attacked with wanton cruelty. Soon, blood would gather in the sumps of the ship. Kellenkir smiled at the thought.
Some day, Scryvok, I almost like you.
With a theatrical flourish, Scryvok depressed a button set into his vambrace. Kellenkir howled in agony and fell to the ground as if shot through with a volkite beam.
My title is Claw Master, Brother Kellenkir. Use it!
Kellenkir spasmed, his kicking feet pulverizing the flesh of the fallen and destroying the bridge railing.
I had not got round to telling you this, Kellenkir, as I was saving it as a surprise for you. But it looks like I just could not wait. I really do hope you are not upset that it is spoiled. So, you see, I had pain spikes installed in all of your armor's neural links. I rather like the effect. Do not tempt me to overuse it, or I may grow bored.
Scryvok leaned close to Kellenkir's face. Kellenkir's teeth were clamped immovably together, his muscles locked. He glared hatred at his captain.
And neither you nor I wish me to become bored.
Scryvok left Kellenkir writhing upon the floor and ignored Kellenvar's regard.
Gallivar, he ordered, send out a message to the Umber Prince, laser pulse only. Inform them that we have our prize and to pass the news on to Lord Krukesh. Quickly now, we have a great deal of work to do.